Good morning and welcome to our service. We have the great honor and privilege of installing our new pastor, Pastor David Udy. We begin our service with a prayer. Lord God, we come before you with joy, for in view of your grace, we have been given the gift of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Without these gifts, we are lost sinners. With them, we are your children and heirs. Move our hearts, O Lord, to respond to your love by giving ourselves to you, repenting of all evil and pursuing only that which is good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue with the singing of our first hymn, Lord, Open Now My Heart to Hear. Please note to stand at the singing of the third stanza. Begin the service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We read responsively. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, and who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye. When the Lord brings back Zion, break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. We join in making confession of our sins. O most merciful God, I confess to you with a sorrowful heart all my sins. I have sinned against you in what I have thought, said, and done. Have mercy upon me, I pray, and forgive me for Jesus' sake. Send your Holy Spirit to help me know your holy will and willingly obey it in the spirit of Christian love and thankfulness. Preserve me in the Christian faith so that I finally enter the eternal life in heaven through our Savior Jesus Christ. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, for he delivered up Jesus on the cross for our offenses and raised him again for our justification. Since the Lord gave the keys of the kingdom of heaven to the Christian church, saying that whoever sins you forgive in his stead, they are forgiven. Therefore, according to Jesus' command, as a called servant of God, I forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Pray. Dear Lord God, you have revealed in your word that you gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers to carry out the gospel ministry. We thank you for calling pastors to serve us with the gospel in word and sacrament. Enable them to faithfully proclaim and teach your word and work faith and love in our hearts through your word so that we accept your teachings and work faith and love in our hearts. Accept your teachings and follow after them in our lives. Continue to keep us in the Christian faith until we are received into heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading is from the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. This is that familiar scene where the Lord, the Son of God, before Jesus became incarnate, saw or appeared in a burning bush to Moses. And he called Moses to carry out a very important work, to lead his people out of bondage to the promised land of Canaan. And the Lord told Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. And the Lord certainly says the same to Pastor Yudi. I'm going to be with you and help you in your calling. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord, this is the Son of God, also appeared as the angel of the Lord, appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I, that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. The second reading from Holy Scripture is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning with verse 7. Here the Lord speaks to his disciples before his ascension to heaven, and he gives them the assurance that he was going to send them the Holy Spirit to help them carry out their work in the Lord. And Jesus gives that same promise to you, Pastor Yudi. He's going to send his Spirit to help you carry out your work in our midst. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away. The Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Blessed are all those who hear the word of God and keep it. Please stand. We join in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, Send, O Lord, Your Holy Spirit.
Please arise. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm John Udy. I'm one of the teachers at our college at Emmanuel Eau Claire. And 25 years ago, I had the privilege of assisting you here and installing our daughter, Amanda, as one of your day school teachers. And thank you for the privilege of being here this morning to share the Word of God with you. The text for our consideration, found recorded in the second book of Kings, chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So Elijah said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. So far, text. Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. I don't think any of you expect to, wow, see a chariot of fire and a whirlwind coming down out of heaven this morning. But I do pray that we see one spiritually. David, not too long ago, commented in one of his sermons, "My parents set really high expectations for me. They named me after God's gift to Israel, David, a king after God's own heart, and after Martin, God's gift to Lutheranism, a reformer after God's own heart." Well, maybe we should have given him four names. My father had four names. And we didn't include a prophet. So I'd like to lay before David in his heart and all of you this morning the names of two prophets, Elijah and Elisha. David, like Elisha, asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Like Elijah, neither I nor this ceremony can give you nor renew that double portion of the spirit. Notice Elijah's answer in our text. "If you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be so for you." Elijah recognized that he couldn't give that gift. Only God can give the gift of his spirit. And yet it was God, certainly, that authorized Elijah and led him to anoint Elisha to be the prophet of the Lord. In the same way, the Lord authorized this congregation and led you to call Pastor Udy. And therefore, in accordance with his grace, he will also answer your prayers to give the Holy Spirit. So ask for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Seeing that fiery chariot and whirlwind sweep Elijah into heaven, you heard Elisha exclaim, "The chariot of Israel and its horsemen." While we might not physically see such a wowing sight, and yet all of you, like Elisha, have seen the chariot of Israel and its horsemen, because it is nothing other than the vision of Jesus with all of his angels accomplishing his marvelous work. Though those prophets, Elijah and Elisha, have gone to their blessed abode, the God of those prophets remains to equip and to sustain his ministers. Jesus remains on the throne to give his spirit. Yes, to you, David, and to all of us. In fact, he has promised to give a double portion to all those who testify of him. Besides the promises you heard in our gospel lesson, listen to one in John 15. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." And Jesus added in John 14, "He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have spoken to you." And the Father validates that promise of Jesus. Romans 8, "He who did not spare his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely give us all things?" Or do you remember Jesus' promise in Luke 11? "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall not the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So ask for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. God's gift to Elisha was made visibly evident. Elisha did see that vision of the chariot and the whirlwind. And then you heard how he took up Elijah's mantle, struck the Jordan River, and it parted for him. So should we ask for proof that God has given to Pastor Yudi a double portion of his spirit? Lord, give us a demonstration of this gift. Let him part San Francisco Bay. Maybe it would save a little travel time for a few of you. But no, God warns us that any reliance on such a new revelation is a lie of the devil. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, he reminds us that God's promises in his word are a more reliable revelation than any vision we might see. Yes, you and I have seen the greatest vision ever, because in every worship gathering, and certainly Jesus wants you to carry it with you in every moment of your life, you're seeing the vision of Jesus riding on the clouds of heaven with all his angels to carry out his marvelous work. Jesus, like that chariot, came down out of heaven to take our place. He took all our sins upon himself. He has covered you with his own righteousness. And yes, he even has parted the river of death, that at the time of our departure, he might bring us to be with himself in heaven. And so it is clear from Scripture that when Christ in him crucified is being lifted high above everything else, Jesus is giving that double portion of his spirit. So ask, you David, but every one of us, for that double portion of God's spirit to glorify Christ. Some may wonder, though, Should we really be asking for a double portion of Elijah's spirit? Sounds kind of arrogant. Prideful ambition that wants to make me great. Well, we are all subject to that temptation of pride, which is all the more reason why we need to pray for a double portion of the Lord's Spirit to deliver us from such a snare of the devil. But no, Elijah was not praying in pride, Elisha was not praying in pride to have his greatness elevated before all men. He was praying in their culture for the inheritance of the firstborn, which, yes, was a double blessing from the father, but also to be then a leader in the family. So this is not a posture of pride, stepping on others to exalt oneself, but it's kneeling before the father in absolute dependence on his blessing. It's not a position of pride demanding that everything be done my way, but seeking the privilege of serving others as a spiritual leader in the ministry of God's word, the ministry of the gospel, that double blessing of Christ. Your sins have been forgiven. My eternal righteousness is yours. In such great love, Jesus came down from heaven to serve you and me, and in thankful love, we will testify of him and teach all he has said. Elisha was not given earthly glory. He lived during the dark days of Israel's downfall, calling out to a people who in general would not listen to come back to the Lord. And yet, in the midst of such darkness, the Lord continued to answer Elisha's prayer, sustaining him with that double portion of Elijah's spirit. For it was only by the Spirit of grace that, despite the general apostasy, a remnant was preserved. God's own people, through faith in Jesus Christ. Miraculously, God even used Elisha to establish a school of the prophets at the banks of the Jordan River. And so the Lord has also preserved you, his remnant, the Father's people. He's graciously established this school of the prophets, this chapel for proclaiming Christ and his word, not too far from the banks of San Francisco Bay. And as he has begun his good work, he will bless its continuance. By his Spirit, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen will continue to preserve his remnant according to that election of grace, to sustain and enable you to be partners in the ministry of the gospel. And he promises in Isaiah 55, my word shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish in that for which I sent it. So ask for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. This is a double portion of Elijah's spirit is not being offered just to ministers of the gospel, like your pastor, but to all believers in Jesus. Do you remember God's promise through Peter on Pentecost? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God calls to himself. So this school of the prophets, this chapel for proclaiming the wonderful works of Christ, is here to sustain you in seeing that vision of Jesus, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. It will prosper to the degree then that all of us ask for that double portion of Elijah's spirit. Pray for that double portion of Elijah's spirit, that it may equip and sustain you as partners in this gospel ministry. Sustain you, yes, in praying for and supporting your public ministers, but also in taking up some of the many tasks in so many different forms that are needed for the benefit of this congregation serving one another in Christ Jesus. For Jesus promises to equip you with the Holy Spirit, a permanent, a powerful, a personal presence within you through faith in Christ. He promises this Spirit to teach you, to comfort you, to empower you, to live your life to the glory of God. So ask for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. But what's all this reference to chariots supposed to mean? You know, in their day, chariots were the premier stealth jets, an overwhelming military advantage. And Israel had longed to have such a worldly chariot force and put their reliance often in trying to get one. But the Lord revealed again and again to them, I am the chariot of Israel. And I, with my angels, are a chariot that no worldly chariot can stand against. So yes. Wow. Like Elisha, you have spiritually seen the vision of the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof, for it is the vision of Jesus riding on the cloud of heaven to accomplish his marvelous works. Listen thus to Psalm 68. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands upon thousands. The Lord is in their midst, as in Sinai, in the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Maybe you noted that parts of that sound very familiar from the New Testament. It's quoted in Ephesians 4 to demonstrate that Jesus in his ascension has mounted on those chariots of heaven, is driving them, yes, to bring gifts to you, his people, providing ministers, providing the Spirit to all believers, to lift up the cross. Yes, his chariot lifts rebellious sinners like me and you out of the fire and brimstone that we deserve, to wash you clean from all your sins in his own blood, to cover you with his own perfect righteousness. And yeah, at the time of our departure, to part that river of death, to bring us to be with him in heaven. You maybe remember, Elijah appeared again on the Mount of Transfiguration in his living body, revealing the glory of what Jesus' resurrection has done for each of us. Christ desires nothing more than to bring you and me to the same. And so despite the darkness and the apostasy in the world today, Jesus is still driving the chariots of heaven. He is dwelling in this holy place and in the holy place of his Christian church to provide his blessing right now. He desires nothing less than at the time of our departure to bring us to be with him in heaven. So ask for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This is a happy day, as our new pastor is installed to serve us with the gospel and word and sacrament. And so we want to offer up a prayer to seek God's blessing upon his ministry in our midst. But it's also a sad day. This past week, a young man named Charlie Kirk, who was at the university in Utah for an open assembly of exchanging ideas with students, listening to their point of view, and he shared his with them in a very respectful way. He was shot dead at that occasion. And our prayers have been requested for the nation. And so we pray for Pastor Yudi and for our nation. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for our nation that mourns the loss of a young man named Charlie Kirk, who was gunned down due to a senseless act of violence. Comfort all those who mourn over his death, in the knowledge that he confessed you as his Lord and Savior, and made the good confession because you conquered death, you have given us life, even everlasting life in heaven. Root out all hatred and bitterness and all acts of violence by leading sinners to repentance, and fill our hearts and the hearts of all our fellow citizens with a spirit of love, so that we're able to love our neighbor as ourselves, even those we may disagree with. Enable us to discuss differences in a civil and respectful manner, and not resort to insulting or speaking falsehoods of another. Help us to live at peace with all our fellow man, and in all that is said or done in our country. May your name be honored and glorified, and your kingdom come by bringing our fellow countrymen to faith. For you are the Savior of our nation, as well as all the world. All this we pray in your name. Holy Spirit, Divine Helper, you have called David Udy as our pastor to be a watchman for the souls of Christ's believers. Fill him with your gifts so that he may carry out his appointed duties. Make him a man of prayer who continually brings his own needs and those of his flock to the Heavenly Father. Make him a diligent student of your word, that he need never be ashamed for lack of knowledge and clear understanding of your divine truths, nor be accused of teaching error. Give him a humble heart to recognize his own sins and weaknesses, and a faithful heart to seek forgiveness for them. May he never covet the praise of men, but rather earnestly desire to do the will of his Master, Jesus Christ, to feed the souls in his care with the pure spiritual milk of the Word. When he speaks to others of pardon for sin and peace with God, may he do so with sincerity as one who has experienced these matters by faith for himself. Let him not be too timid to warn the sinful concerning their sins, nor fail to comfort the repentant with forgiveness. Let him be neither lazy and slothful, nor lacking in the physical health, stamina, and mental skills needed to carry out his duties. Make him a proper example to his flock in faith and godly works, and keep him from being an offense to any person. Fill him with a love for souls, especially for those under his spiritual care. Let him never be ashamed to preach the crucified and risen Christ, and may his listeners never grow weary of the message of salvation. Through his faithful witness of Christ, cause the members of Christ's flock to grow in faith and in love toward God and each other. Permit your pastor to see evidence of true repentance and faith in the lives of the Christians he serves, lives rich in godliness, in honesty, and brotherly love. Inspire our fellow Christians to give generous support to the gospel ministry of the pastor and to remember him and the burdens of his calling to God in prayer. Take pastor and flock under your loving care, forgiving their sins, increasing their faith, and filling them with every needful blessing. Sustain us all by the power of your saving gospel. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, who bought us with his own blood, and who also taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, 682, God of the Prophets, Bless the Prophet's Son. Esther Udy asks you to come forward for the installation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Pastor Udy has been called to be the pastor of St. Stephen Lutheran Church. Hear now what the Holy Scripture says concerning the office of the public ministry. The office of the public ministry has been instituted by God. The Apostle Paul tells us of the Lord calling individuals into the public ministry in Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. The responsibilities of the public office of the gospel of Christ. The Apostle Paul exhorted young pastor Timothy and all of the pastors of Christ's church on earth in a second letter to him, chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Again, Paul wrote to Pastor Timothy in a second letter, second chapter, verses 24 and 25. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God permits, perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. The strength and promise in the office of the public ministry. The Apostle Peter wrote in his first letter, chapter 5, verses 2 to 4, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lord over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Dear brother in Christ, the Lord grant you that you receive and keep these words in your heart, that you may be strengthened and encouraged in your labors. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I now ask you, do you believe the canonical books of the Old and New Testament to be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
I do.
Do you accept the three ecumenical creeds, namely the Apostles, Nicene, and the Athanasian creeds, as faithful testimonies to the truth of Holy Scriptures, and do you reject all the errors which they condemn?
I do.
Do you believe that the unaltered Augsburg Confession is a true exposition of the Word of God, a correct exhibition of the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, that the apology of the Augsburg Confession, the small and large catechisms of Martin Luther, the small called articles in the Formula of Concord, as these are contained in the Book of Concord, are also in agreement with this one scriptural faith?
I do.
Do you sincerely promise that you will perform the duties of your office in accordance with these confessions, and that all your teaching and your administration of the sacraments will be in conformity with the Holy Scriptures and with the aforementioned confessions?
I do.
Will you faithfully instruct both young and old in the chief articles of the Christian doctrine? Will you forgive the sins of those who repent in Christ's stead? Will you minister faithfully to the sick and dying? Will you demonstrate to the church a constant and ready ministry, admonishing people to a lively confidence in Christ and holy living?
I will.
Finally, Will you adorn the office of the public ministry with a holy life?
Yes, with the help of God.
I ask that those who will be involved in the laying on of hands and the reading of scripture come forward and assemble to my left. I ask one other question of you. Are you willing and ready to assume this trust and responsibility?
Yes.
Please kneel. In the Apostle Paul's second letter to Pastor Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15, he said to him, as well as to you, Pastor Yudi, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In every aspect of your ministry, every challenge, every success, every difficulty, may the Lord tune your mind to his word, your heart to his love.
First Peter 3, verse 8. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous.
Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you.
First Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as the ability which God supplies, and that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
From Acts chapter 20, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock over which you are overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Ephesians 4, 1-3. I, therefore, a king, that's Paul speaking, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthily in the vocation wherewith ye are called, with lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
You may return to your places. Pastor David Yudi, I install you as the pastor of St. Stephen Lutheran Church in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will, and may he work in you what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Merciful God and Father, you have graciously promised that through the preaching of the crucified Christ, those who believe in him will be saved. By your Holy Spirit, grant grace to your servant, whom you have given to be pastor of our congregation. Grant him steadfastness and readiness in this ministry, patience, understanding, and great zeal. Support and strengthen him in your service by your word, that your church may be built and increased, through your Son, our great High Priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. We invite Pastor Udy to give the benediction to the congregation, after which we'll be reading letters addressed to you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
No, please. Oh, yes, my wife is correct. We will sing the final Please be seated. Now we shall read letters addressed both to Pastor Udy as well as to the congregation. This letter comes from his brother, Aaron, Pastor Aaron Udy. David Martin Udy, you were named after two heroes of faith. One fought with swords and one with words. They also both faced times of immense physical danger and personal doubt. It is recorded how much Martin Luther trembled before telling the Holy Roman Emperor that unless convinced by Scripture, he would not recant. King David, when his own son led a rebellion against him and had fled and to flee, wrote, "Lord, how they have increased to trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God." Yes, both David and Martin faced giants, but both won, because the Lord was their strength and God's word was their guide and comfort. They put their trust in the Lord. God enable you in all the adversity you will face as a servant of God in an ever-increasing ungodly world to be like them. Write these words of David on your heart, found in Psalm 3, verses 3 and 4. "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy mountain." This letter comes from Pastor Luke, previous pastor, who's now serving in Hales Corners. "Greetings to you all in the name of our Savior Jesus, the Lord of the Church, on this joyful day. Dear cousin and brother in Christ, David, as much as I will miss having you in Wisconsin and seeing you at our area pastoral study clubs and conferences, as well as at occasional family gatherings and, of course, Green Bay Packer events, I'm so grateful to the Lord that he led you to be the new shepherd of this wonderful flock of believers in the Bay Area and throughout California. I pray that the tremendous gifts, enthusiasm, and creativity that the Lord has given you will be put to excellent use here among this caring and dedicated flock of believers. I pray that they, in turn, will be a great blessing to you, Rachel, and your family, as they were a blessing to me when I served here. I'm confident that the Lord will continue to work in amazing ways and accomplish incredible things as you serve this congregation and its members throughout California. Enjoy serving with these wonderful people. Enjoy the awe-inspiring beauty of the Lord's creation in California, as well as the amazing weather. No shoveling. Share the light of God's word and life-giving gospel in all its glory with courage and boldness, as well as with gentleness and respect." It just occurred to me that there were some questions I needed to address to you, but that will come after the reading of these letters. Dear members of St. Stephen, I pray that this transition to your new pastor and his family will be a smooth one. I pray that you will support, care for, and serve with Pastor Udy and his family, as you so wonderfully did while Jules and I were with you, as you always have with your called workers. We think of you all often. We miss you all dearly and pray for you regularly. Our prayers and praises to our Savior join with yours today and in the days to come as you join in serving Christ. May he richly bless your ministry together in every way. Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again the dead of our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This letter comes from Pastor Neil, previous pastor of this congregation, and his wife and family. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ of St. Stephen, Ephesians 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. As we think of you, we can't help but rejoice in the Lord for how he has answered prayers by bringing Pastor David Udy and his family to serve together with you. What a beautiful reminder that our Good Shepherd knows his sheep and provides faithful under-shepherds to care for his flock. We are so thankful to see the Lord's hand at work among you. We rejoice with you in this new chapter of ministry, knowing that Jesus himself is with you, leading, guiding, strengthening you in every step. As he promises, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. May you continue to walk together in faith, serving one another in love, keeping your eyes fixed on Christ, who holds you close. Please know that our prayers continue for Pastor Udy, his family, and for all of you at St. Stephen, that the Lord would bless your fellowship and your worship to his saving grace. This comes from Pastor David Nauman, who serves St. John's in Clarkson, Washington, and Peace Lutheran in Orofino. He's also serving as our conference visitor. Greetings to our fellow saints at St. Stephen Lutheran Church in Mountain View, California. On this happy day of the installation of your new pastor, the Reverend David Udy, your fellow believers at St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Clarkson, Wisconsin, and Peace Lutheran Church in Orofino, Idaho, would like to share our joy with you in the Lord. We're excited to see how the Lord of the Church will bless St. Paul's with this, I think he meant to say St. Stephen, with this faithful and talented preacher of the gospel. As a visitor of the Pacific Coast Pastoral Conference, I know your congregation has been through some changes in the past few years. The ministry has changed from a dual pastor to a single parish. Some of the saints have gone on to their eternal reward. No doubt there are some new faces. As most of you know, the words Lutheran and change usually don't go together without a struggle. Yet, even when changes are going on around us, God never fails to keep constant the one thing needful among us, his word. His word reminds us always of his unchanging, steadfast love and kindness toward us in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is good. And on this day, God gives to you his good and perfect gift of a shepherd, will continue to lead you to the one who never changes, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. May Pastor Udy and his family be a blessing to you all, and may you all love, honor, and celebrate this good and perfect gift from your Heavenly Father. This letter comes from Pastor Wayne Eichstätt and his congregation of Gethsemane Lutheran Church in Spokane Valley, Washington. Dear Pastor Udy and our fellow saints of St. Stephen, greetings in the name of our Savior Jesus, who is the head and Lord of the Church. From a distance, we join with you this morning in giving thanks to God for providing a new shepherd leader to St. Stephen, and now joining shepherd and flock together to undertake their mutual work in his kingdom. It is a tremendous gift of grace that our ascended Savior continues to give his gifts to his church to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. We pray for the Lord's rich blessings to be showered upon Pastor Udy and his family and upon St. Stephen congregation as we begin working together and as you continue to be a bright gospel light shining in the Bay Area. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "Therefore, because we have a living, victorious Savior, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Together under God's grace and as fellow workers in the vineyard, your brothers and sisters of Gethsemane Lutheran Church, Spokane Valley, Washington. This letter comes from Pastor Tom Nauman and his congregation of saints at Zion Lutheran Church in Detroit, Michigan, who I believe today are dedicating their new facility, church facility. Dear members of St. Stephen Lutheran Church, today I rejoice with you upon the installation of your new pastor, David Udy. Praise be to God. For the past 8 years, I have had the blessing of serving with David and the Great Lakes Conference. I have learned that David is hardworking, personable, and extremely evangelical. I have the utmost respect for David's preaching, which is full of zeal and joy for the gospel. But best of all, David is faithful. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." You can be confident of the Lord's blessings through his faithful servant, Pastor David Udy. May Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, bless you all as you welcome your new servant and his family into your midst. And finally, this letter comes from Pastor Sam Rodabaugh on behalf of his congregation of St. John's in Okabena, Minnesota. Dear members of St. Stephen Lutheran Church, we join you today rejoicing in the great gifts that God gives to his church on earth, especially giving thanks as we think of you today at St. Stephen Lutheran Church in Mountain View. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. "But thanks be to God, when Christ always leads us in triumphant procession, through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." Paul describes our life as Christians in this beautiful way, joining Christ Jesus in a victory parade. It truly is a triumphant procession, as Christ has won the victory over sin, death, and hell, and now he invites us to join in the celebration. I rejoice today that the Lord has led Pastor Udy to accept the call to serve your congregation as pastor. Pastor Udy regularly reflects the reality of this joyful parade in his ministry, serving with infectious enthusiasm and zeal. I've been blessed to know Pastor Udy for 30 years and count him as a very dear friend. He has been an invaluable resource for me in my ministry, always available with words of wisdom and advice and encouragement. He is extremely personable, very hardworking, and is diligent in his study and love of scriptures. I'm confident that the Lord will use the many gifts that he has given to Pastor Udy to bless your congregation and all of your various ministries around California. Yet, my confidence in this is not based upon Pastor Udy's gifts, however great they may be. Paul continues on in the next verses. "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to a fragrance from death to death, to other a fragrance from life to life, who is sufficient for these things." Who is sufficient indeed? None of us are. Our sufficiency is from God, who equips us with his word, which is the power of salvation. As Pastor Udy uses that word among you, I pray that you receive him with love and support, not only for him, but also toward his wonderful wife, Rachel, and beautiful children, Anastasia, Samara, and Simon. David, I wish I could be there today in person for the laying on of hands and to express my congratulations on this happy occasion. May Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, bless the nourishment and care of your new flock. And now, the questions I should have addressed to you earlier. You must forgive me for my frailty of memory of doing things in the order they should be done. But we now have a young pastor whose memory is much better than my own. What happened to the page addressed to the members? This is embarrassing. Because I know that there are questions that are supposed to be addressed to you. And they're not here. There they are. No, they aren't. I just don't understand it. Well, I will address these questions to you. Do you, members of St. Stephen Lutheran Church, accept Pastor Yudi as your pastor? If so, answer by saying, we do.
We do.
Will you accept him and support him as he brings the Word of God to you, helping you to grow in the knowledge of your Savior? When there is error to correct, when there is sin to reprove, will you then accept his ministry to you and follow the word of the Lord as you should as his people? If so, then answer, we will.
We will.
Will you support him in every way? Your prayers, your words of encouragement, your financial support, and any way you can help him. If so, then answer, we will.
We will.
I thank you for putting up with the frailties of human man. Where those questions went, I don't know. They're gone. Good morning. Following the service this morning, there will be a light luncheon. The Yudi men, Professor Yudi and Pastor Yudi, will be greeting you at the door. Right shortly after the service, I would like to ask the Yudis and those involved in the laying out of hands to come forward to the front for a picture. For any of you who would like to take home a copy of Professor Yudi's sermon, they're available on the table in the entryway. Next Sunday, we will be holding a memorial service in memory of Terry Bliss. There will also be a luncheon following that service. And then we're going to put Pastor Yudi to work. September 29th, he will be conducting the first Bible class and the first service. And there will be a council meeting after that service. So a lot of work that day. And may God in his grace be with you always.